And the main thing we cannot forget is I am the unified heavyweight champion.
You predicted BJ was going to beat me, didn't you? You predicted he's going to beat me. He got smashed.
All these years, the UK fighters had to go to America. Everyone had to spend a heap of money to go to Vegas. We can do it in London, around Wembley, Cardiff. It's local. We're staying right here. Wilder! Let's go, baby! Let's go!
I smashed your body, your playmate, your playboy, your nightclub buddy, and I will smash you the exact same way.
Dylan White, Derek Chisora, Big Baby Miller, Joe Joyce, you can all have it, Dominic Brazil, whoever else is in America too, all have it!
Are you off your tits? Have you been smoking something?
Let people rab it on. That's why God gave you one mouth. And two ears, do more listening than talking. All the talks are shit.
Get him in the ring and I'll knock him spark out. Thank you very much.
All you gotta do is set the date. Don't wait, mate.
Yes, yes. What is up, TBV family? It is, what, the third episode of UK Hour with Rob and Matt. And yes, yes, it's going to be a live fight chat of Watkins versus Okoli. Yes, a little bit of preview of Tyson Fury. And yes, of course, it can't be UK Hour without some breaking news happening mid-show or pre-show, which I feel like is now a staple of this show. It happened last week. Now it's happening this week. Dylan White versus Ortiz, or maybe Dylan White versus Joseph Parker, is now being alleged to be in negotiations or confirmed. God knows what's happening. There's a press conference tomorrow for Dylan White. So obviously that's going to, I think, take a lion's share of the show other than the Watkins versus Okoli fight. But, Rob, how you doing, man? Do I need to play your intro? Do you want me to play your intro?
No, I think that intro sufficed. That
yeah, right. And it made it through. It made it through.
I
was worried about copyright with that one, but we made it.
Yeah, well, what did people make of that in the chat? I want to hear about whether they like the intro. Now we know it's good and not, bringing up anything.
I got a couple intros dope. Love the intro. So I think we're good. Shout out to Dollar DiBiase, of course. Dollar_DiBiase on YouTube and Instagram. Check him out.
Yeah, okay, that was me, but never mind.
No, that was that was you. You made that.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, oh, sorry.
We don't believe you. You need more people.
It's okay though. Digressing. Rob wants to lie and say that he's a music producer now. It's okay. We can.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm Jay Prince. I didn't know if you knew that, but I'm Jay Prince in the flesh. But digressing.
What that means. But anyway.
I don't really know where to start because the Dylan White news, I think, has shattered everything. The Okoli fight's not starting yet. I don't know. Where do you want to start, Rob? There's a lot to get into right now because there's Dylan White information.
Yeah, I mean.
Or lack thereof.
This has kind of all started. It was like, we'll start off with like Parker Jennings. This was like, I think Jennings had put out there that this is done. And then David Higgins has said, no, it's not. And that Ustinov was an option and things like this. Anyway, throughout the day, then news broke that there was a press conference for Dillian White tomorrow about his unnamed opponent. And then obviously people were, it's just Pulev. And then it was like, but it's a matchroom thing, but they didn't win the purse bids. Would it be a matchroom press conference if they didn't win the purse bids? So it was like, oh, people like, maybe it's Ortiz. And then people like, nah, he ain't going to go down that route. Dillian White ain't going to take on Ortiz. No way. And then next thing, Dan Rafael breaks the story. That a deal is done. And yeah, we were getting Dillian White, Ortiz, final eliminator for the WBC. And it was like, wow, shout out to Dillian White going this week.
And then,
yeah. And then it was like, nah, it's not happening. It's not that. There's been reports coming in. Someone has spoken to Eddie Hearn tonight. He's apparently denied it, tapped his nose to the guy that asked it and said, see you tomorrow. Joseph Parker is now the front runner for Dillian White.
I wouldn't say the front runner. I don't know if that's correct. I think he's in the equation. He's in the mix. Whatever verbiage you want to use, I think you can use that. But I don't think we can say a front runner. Like, you have Dan Rafael of ESPN saying, it's Luis Ortiz. I have multiple sources telling me it's Luis Ortiz. Everything's confirmed. The press conference tomorrow is going to happen. Then we have Boxing Scene articles saying that Luis Ortiz's people are saying that's not the case. Eddie Hearn saying that's not the case. Now we have Joseph Parker coming out of nowhere when we all thought that was going to happen with Brian Jennings. You know, I was just on this show, not this exact show, but, you know, the flagship show, was it Sunday or Thursday, and saying that, oh, the heavyweight division's all getting figured out. Like, the top of it's going to get, it's all getting matched up right now. And nope, it's not. Not at all.
Now we can't figure it out at all.
God knows what's up. So, what do fans of Dillian Whyte or UK fans want? Do they want a Joseph Parker fight, or do they want the Luis Ortiz fight, in your opinion?
I'm not sure, really. I think... They just want him to be the mandatory for Deontay Wilder. You know, they want him to have his shot. And then because some people were saying he doesn't need to go the Pulev IBF route because at some point he's going to get a Joshua fight anyway. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be mandatory, that kind of route. It'll just get made because it's a big UK domestic fight at some point, whatever. But then people were saying, oh, does he really want to go Ortiz, you know, the alleged boogeyman of the division, even though, you know, he picked up the loss to Wilder. But I feel there's been quite a good shift for Dillian Whyte and how he's perceived. Come across. Because I think at some point he used to, you know, people either love him or hate him. But I think there's a few more now leaning towards loving him. And, you know, when it came out with Ortiz, people like check the balls on Dillian Whyte. He's kind of got a spot that he's going to face Wilder at some point, but he's going for the final eliminator. I'm going to take out Ortiz or whatever. But we're just going to have to wait till tomorrow just to find out who this opponent is.
And let's not forget that Eddie Hearn came out, what, last week maybe? I think that's probably pushing it, maybe even sooner than that, and said if the WBC makes Whyte versus Ortiz the final eliminator, the official mandatory over Dominic Brazil, we'll take the Ortiz fight. So that's why this news from Dan Rayfield completely lined up with what everybody was saying pre this article. And now we're having Joseph Parker in the mix. I'll be honest, I don't think Joseph Parker is the right matchup for Dillian Whyte. I'll probably even make the argument that I don't even think Luis Ortiz is the right matchup for Dillian Whyte. But out of the people that are involved, Pulev, Ortiz, Parker. Ortiz is the direct shot to a belt, more so than Pulev. Even though Pulev is an IBF mandatory, you know, etc. Ortiz is a mandatory status and a name that we always respect, and a name that a lot of people think beat Deontay Wilder. They think that Deontay Wilder got saved by corrupt judging or officiating. Even though I think that's a load of bullshit. There's people that think that. The people that think that Ortiz should have won that fight and he didn't. So those people are going to then see maybe Dillian Whyte beat him. And that's going to be something to watch.
Yeah. It'd just be interesting tomorrow just to see how this all, like you say, lines up. Because then, like you say, the kind of the heavyweight divisions may be slightly a little change in the landscape and how things are sort of going on. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see on this news, I guess. I mean, we've got Okoli just stepping in the ring now, Matt. AJ's in attendance. Obviously, he's part of, you know,
AJ Boxing.
I think, yeah, AJ Boxing. There, they're all on the ring ropes and everything. So, and Dillian Whyte's in the audience as well. It's a, you know, small venue, the York Hall, but atmosphere's electric. But I guess while they're still doing ring entrance and stuff, we can, you know, maybe discuss Dillian Whyte a little more. But like I say, until we know, maybe it's all speculate. But it was just like you say, the source was Dan Rayfield, which is usually pretty good. Well, it's usually pretty spot on. So
it's ESPN, you know.
Yeah, and I'm guessing he's got, you know, an abundance of decent contacts and sources where he gets his information.
Yep. And, you know, the press conference is in the morning tomorrow. I'm not going to give out the exact time because it says, you know, do not publicize that stuff in this press release. But it is in the morning, so we should know, you know, for us in the U.S. at least, we should know when we wake up. You know, at least, especially for us on the West Coast, when I wake up, all this news should be official, and all this information should be out in public. So hopefully, like, you know, you said, we get obviously some, you know, clearance of what this is, you know, some transparency, because all the matchups involved are so good, like Whyte versus Parker, Whyte versus Pulev, Whyte versus Ortiz, all good matchups, all of them. So I'm hyped for any of them, to be honest. This Ortiz one to me just for some reason, it seemed to like break boxing Twitter for a moment. Whenever that happens, yeah. You have to like sort of like pay attention to that. That's a fight that captures the public imagination.
Yeah, and I just think this is, kind of sort of proof that a loss on your record isn't, his loss to AJ. It sort of hasn't really hurt him in a way. Obviously, it would have, winning it would have maybe been, a different story, but he's taken that loss. And I think at the time, after that, he didn't change his Twitter bio and, put the loss on the record. He used to have it in his bio and people used to get on at him at that. But I think there's been although he still says crazy, mad stuff, there's a sense of him maturing a little bit and growing as a fighter. And, he's turned that loss and, gone on this run now and, the future, but if we get Ortiz, that's another, shout out if it's Ortiz, but as we're telling you, it's maybe not looking that way, but we'll just have to wait and take promoter's word for it that it's not on until we find out he's actually not on. So we'll find out tomorrow. But
yeah, I just want to say shout out to Dylan White because, like we've said, like he has improved drastically, I think, in his boxing technique. His jab alone. You look at his jab against Anthony Joshua, and then you look at his jab in his most recent fight, it's night and day difference. Just awareness of distance, awareness of range, timing, like those more high level skills and techniques he is starting to learn, So I think he is going to be a guy that, even though he has lost, he's going to be around for a bit. He's still young. And same with Ortiz. Even though he's older, Ortiz having this loss, he's still around. Like, people still consider him a top quality name. But digressing, of course. Watkins versus Okoli in the ring, round one about to start. What's your prediction over here, Mr. Robbie Hearns?
I think I'm hoping this isn't going to be, and I really don't think it is, but I hope it's not going to be an Okoli Chamberlain type thing, because that was a very messy, difficult to watch fight. But I think this is going to be a little more explosive. For me, Okoli at times can be, if a guy wants to get in close and shut Okoli down, he's not got any options, or he just seems a little limited. But if he can box at range with those long levers, and he's got, heavy, heavy hands. So I'm hoping this is going to be explosive. I could see Watkins maybe looking to come at Okoli quite early, but we'll have to see how this goes. But I'm hoping for quite an explosive fight. I'm going to edge towards Okoli on this one.
I agree. I think Okoli has the higher ceiling. Agree with your assessment on his, height, reach. When he gets behind the jab, he looks, pretty decent. He looks like he can have a good high ceiling in terms of a career. But that last fight with Chamberlain was so bad. That's the problem. He sort of shit the bed in that fight, so to speak. Or they both did, It was one of those fights where it just did not work out the way it was hyped up to be. So hopefully he comes in and puts on a performance. I think he needs to. I think he puts on another dud. I think he starts losing that hype, that hype train that's been around him, especially since AJ has attached his name to Okoli. He's, I'm not going to say he's, come over to the U.S. and we know him now in terms of Okoli, but hardcore fans know the name because of AJ. Similar to, like, people, knew Gervonta Davis at an early point because of Mayweather. There's that effect to it. But he definitely needs to, I think, come up here and get a good win. Eight fights, six KOs, still young in his career, but definitely a guy that, if he keeps winning, he's at the top. He could potentially be at the top, make some big fights over here in the U.S. for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think he's a big cruiserweight. Don't know how easy he makes weight, but he seems to. He's fine, but he's a big guy, but obviously I think he'd be a small heavyweight, if you know what I mean. So is it that, I don't know, sort of a difficult sort of position, but if he can make the cruiserweight his own, then,
I think he'd probably make it pretty easily, even though he's big, he's tall and rangy, and he's, yeah. He's not really like thick, he's not like this, really muscular guy with a bunch of mass on him, like an AJ, for example. He's more of a Deontay Wilder, like, nice skinny frame that's going to allow you to cut a lot of weight or at least get down to a lower weight than, you know, what guys that are shorter than you can do. But round one starting. So shout out to Watkins. I'm not really aware of Watkins in any way, to be honest.
You didn't do any YouTube research?
No, not for this one. No. Because I'll be honest, like I did a bunch for the Chamberlain Okoli one, and that bummed me out so much that I was sort of like, I'm just gonna watch this one as a casual fan. Like I'll be the casual for this live fight chat, you know. And plus, hit that like button, hit the thumbs up, because what other boxing channel is doing a live fight chat on a Wednesday in the middle of the day in the U.S.? Come on, fam. Come on. What are you doing here with your lives? And all super chats in this show does go towards equipment to allow callers eventually, etc. So get those super chats going.
Yeah, definitely. Show the love. Come on. But there's a minute gone for me. Shout out to the Sky Sports Sky Go app not having a pause button that me and Matt can actually link up properly. But we're close enough, I guess. But Okoli sort of behind the jab, going to the body at times, looking quite nice at the moment.
He looks a little bit like awkward, I would say, like in his stance right now.
I think he is in general anyway.
Yeah, true. I agree.
He's not your most stylistic sort of footwork and movement kind of guy. He's just looking for that right hand.
I think it's quite easy to just disrupt him and get under those shots, basically, because every time Watkins gets under that range, the right hand from Okoli goes right over the head. Like, it misses every time.
Yeah, I mean, that was in the Chamberlain fight. We saw it, that Chamberlain was getting underneath, but he'd already felt the power. So it was from getting underneath, he was then just getting in the clinch and making it messy. So, hopefully this won't be 12 rounds of that. But you can see it happening at times, these big guys. But, Okoli looking to find that right hand. Ooh. Yeah, he tried that right hand right there that Watkins just avoided.
He threw a right hand in the body, I would say, in like the first 30 seconds of the round that I really liked, even though it was overextended. I would like him to go back to that. Like, Canelo Alvarez throws that right hand to the body to set up the right hook over top all the time. I would like Okoli to start doing that, work the body a little bit instead of headhunting with that right hand. Because he's loading up on it. Like, you can see him loading up on that right hand to throw it. And that's why Watkins is able to duck under it a lot.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see if Okoli can land quite heavy. Yeah, he's just done it there. You might see it in a sec, but maybe caught the glove a little. But just to see what Watkins' reaction is to this, the power of Okoli, because when he does land flush, it's pretty heavy.
Yeah, and Watkins hasn't really done much either. Like, I think Okoli's obviously winning the round from activity. Like, Watkins is exploding in there, but not throwing anything. He's just trying to duck under, get in on the inside. And he's not unloading to the body at that point. He's not doing specific things to optimize that position. But I would like Okoli to sort of keep Watkins a little more on the outside of that right hand. Neither guy has their range down. First round over. Okoli won it 10-9 in my opinion.
I'll give that one to Okoli. No problem there. Just on activity, pumping the jab, going to the body with the jab as
well,
sort of.
Well, he landed shots. I mean, he landed shots. Even though they weren't great shots and they weren't clean shots, he landed shots. Watkins didn't. Sometimes scoring a round is that simple.
Yep.
But again, the headhunting from Okoli needs to stop. He needs to start going to the body because Watkins is giving it to him. It's there for the taking, in my opinion. Shout out to Hassan in the chat saying, in the super chat saying, good show. Thank you, Hassan.
Thank you, Hassan. Very kind.
That will go towards equipment to get callers on the show, because we are a fan-driven show in the TBV network. Shout out to all of you. Where TBV is having a show every day, guaranteed, except for Tuesday and Saturday. But it's on Saturdays. We always do live fight chats and media reactions, so it's basically just Tuesday.
Yeah, and Nez is wanting to work as much as possible, providing the news is out there.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. I sent the white news, the Dan Rofield, and I was like, at least 30 minutes before anyone mentioned anything, I thought, ghost town in the production chat. But
Watkins does not like the this power from McCauley. I feel like that's obvious.
I think so. Like, I think this is what happened with Chamberlain. I think, if I remember, Okoli did drop him early, and then that's what made him like, I really don't want a lot of this, and it just made it a messy fight because he was just looking to clinch and didn't really do much of his own work.
If Okoli had a little more technique, and that'll come with time, you know, he only has 8 fights in his pro career, you know, get a little more accuracy down, get his timing down a little better, he can start really hurting guys because he seems to have the power, and he definitely has the reach and the height to make guys hurt. Ooh, good left hook to the body after that right hand from Okoli. And he's also going to the body a lot more in this round too. I like that.
Yeah. I just always find that Okoli just finds it difficult, you know, in close. This Watkins is getting underneath it, and Okoli's trying to catch him once he's like right in close with the head. He's going in low with it as well, and he's trying, you know, striking with a punch like downwards, and I don't know. He just finds it very awkward, I think. And I think people, having watched some of his other fights, mm-hmm. have kind of figured out a way that maybe not necessarily he's going to win them the fight, but they're going to
negate that right hand, you know.
Yeah, and go long in the fight. So, and then, you know, anything can happen from there on in. So,
I like how Okoli, when he's going forward, is able to land the right hand a little bit more frequently, a little more accurately, I should say. I think he struggles being the counter puncher, to be honest. I think that's what he wants to be, but I don't think he has the technique or the training to do that yet.
Yeah, he's pretty raw. He is pretty raw.
He's very, you know, very raw. So I think, you know, when he starts going forward and throwing combinations, he actually lands pretty decently and effectively. Maybe he should start doing that a little more instead of being this, you know, sniper that he's trying to be with his right hand. Because Watkins is still ducking under it, I would say, consistently.
Yeah, I mean, that's the end of the round there for me, Matt. That's another 10-9 for Okoli, I think.
Round's about to be over for me. Yeah, 10-9 easily for Okoli. I mean, he landed good shots to the body that round. Landed some good right hands up top as well, landed the jab. Watkins did basically nothing in that round as well. And somebody in the chat told me before the fight started that Watkins was the favorite. Was that true?
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot in it regarding the odds, but Watkins is the Commonwealth champion at the moment, and Okoli's got the WBA international, I think it is. Yeah, I think I don't know if I'll be able to get odds up now. Maybe someone in the chat knows what the odds were. Might not be easy for you to translate if it's in UK odds, but it might be quite close.
That's not that difficult. I mean, people make a big deal about that shit. It's not that hard. Like, like you can tell who's the favorite at least. Like, that's all you need to do.
Oh, they're starting to tear up a little bit at the start of the third here. They're both a little bit more loose and going for it. But if Okoli can just get behind this jab again, because I think the last round he tried a couple of, you know, straight 1-2s. But obviously, Watkins is looking for the right that's coming behind that every time. So, if he could just mix it up and then you know, look for the big one and mix it up a little bit. But like I say, he's very raw. But just want this to turn up a little bit because when the big guys start throwing hands, it's exciting, right?
True. And I mean, you're here to see the big guys for knockouts. So that's always the case. I mean, mm-hmm. At least for the casuals, at least. Most people don't like seeing, you know, people that don't have knockout power in the heavyweight or cruiserweight division. Though, I mean, there's some that, you know, can be entertaining, you know, like look at the World Boxing Super Series tournament for the cruiserweight division. A lot of those top fights went to the decision, but they were all fantastic fights that were entertaining and highly active, you know, highly skilled fights. You can tell these guys are a little raw. These guys are a little bit more.
Okoli's letting go a little bit now, Matt.
Well, you know, you're
like, oh, he's down. Watkins down.
You're only like 9 seconds ahead of me. Like, what the hell? This is bullshit. Fucking shout out to international streams. Oh yeah, yeah. I heard him with that right hand left hook combo, and then just poured it on him. Come again with that left hook, right hand again.
Oh, big left hand. Towels come in. The towels come in.
Boom. Over.
Yeah. Once.
Even though Okoli is not, you know, Spanish, I just want salute, man. Salute. That was a good knockout.
Okoli.
But yeah, once I decided it was going to be a bit more of a tear up, I think was maybe the beginning of the end for Watkins.
Well, also like Okoli like needs to get his range down and accuracy down like that for a guy that is a little more raw like him. That takes, you know, four rounds to get down.
Yeah, you once you lock in the rhythm, maybe, and
it is like, and there's, you know, he does a very good job about using the jab a lot, because if he always taught this, if your jab lands on the gloves, that means your right hand can land on the face every time.
Yeah,
every time. So I mean, once he started getting that rhythm of okay, the jab's landing, the right hand's there, and eventually Watkins couldn't duck everyone, and that happened because he caught with the right hand first, and then the left hook followed that really rocked him. And then it just kept spiraling from there. A few more left hooks, a couple more right hands. Watkins was down. It was basically over. So salute to Okoli. Good win, especially after the Chamberlain fight. He needed this.
Eddie Hearn looking very casual this evening.
Shout out to Aaron Kidd in the Super Chat. Trying to make a point with only 79 cents. We appreciate it. We appreciate every little help we can get. Fan-driven show. Salute to all of you. But yeah, you want to circle back to Dillian Whyte, or do you feel like we've discussed that enough?
I mean, obviously, like I say, we'll find out tomorrow, and obviously that's going to be, we can obviously bring that up on the flagship tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So I think we've done that. But, you know, a little more mention on this card tonight. Ted Cheeseman, very impressive again, seems to be improving with every fight. Just proved too much for Doyle. It looked like it was going to be a good fight. And then he came, you know, showed his skills, came forward and just kept coming forward. And it just overpowered in the end. And Bellotti, I don't know if people saw that. Or maybe people in the chat can tell me what they think about Rhys Bellotti stoppage. There's a slight little question over whether he could have been given a little bit more time. But
definitely not a good stoppage.
No,
I wouldn't argue it's an awful one, but I wouldn't argue it's a good one or decent.
No. And what did I want to know what people thought of Danny? I can never say it.
You loosen off.
The Kazakh Thunder.
Is it Kazakh Thunder?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
He looks good. He's the guy that beat Josh Kelly in the Olympics, right?
Yes, but he looked very
he always looks good.
He looked good, but he's like just looking for perfection. I think he looked very elusive, like you can't he looked difficult to land on, but he looks very measured. And I don't know, I mean tonight he could have been a little, I mean the guy he was in with David Caldwell was on commentary, and he knows him as a tough guy. So, you know, you loosen off, landed a few quite heavy. But it just, you know, didn't get the guy out of there. But I just felt he looked kind of inactive. He didn't look, he just thought, come on, we've heard, you know, so much about you. Let's see. But he looks very deliberate, very measured, and he's looking for perfection. But another win, got the decision easy enough. Yeah, it's been a Wednesday night, a good card. Obviously, the York Hall, really historical venue over here in the UK. And I can't remember who said it earlier on the card, but he said it's like an oven in there. It's such a small, tight venue, and obviously all the lights and doing the rounds and stuff. It feels like an oven in there. But yeah, it's good to have some boxing on a Wednesday night. Mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, and we're going to head into our second to last section of the show, Tyson Fury's comeback fight. We're going to preview that very quickly and then head out to Patreon questions, which are absolutely open to the public. I know people get like all upset about Patreon, but if you, and even the Super Chat, like people get upset about like Super Chat questions and the fact that we answer these comments. Well, if you want to guarantee that your question or topic gets discussed, gets answered absolutely free, just go to patreon.com/theboxingvoice. There's a topic post, a question post for the UK Hour, along with the Standing 8 Count, Untitled, all of our other shows on the network. that we have Patreon questionnaire segments, so to speak. And those posts are absolutely free. So if you're listening right now and you're not a Patreon member, you don't want to be on Super Chat, but you want us to hear your question, go to patreon.com/ The Boxing Voice. But Tyson Fury, you know, I'll be honest. I'm hyped that he's back. I don't want to see him hugging his opponent, you know, give him high fives in the ring, no dancing with him. You know, I don't like that. I like the Tyson Fury that's in the Batman costume, saying that he's going to lick his clit. You know, I want to see that Tyson Fury that's obnoxious, that's obscene, abhorrent. I want that Tyson Fury, not the fun-loving one. And I get it. He's all happy now, and I guess and that's fine. You know, you can be happy with life. But I want, like, upset Tyson Fury that's, you know, pissing people off. So even though this fight doesn't have me hyped, I know later down the road, Tyson Fury versus Tony Bellew is going to be amazing. And we're going to get the old Tyson back.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to need one of the bigger names in the game to maybe see that Fury back. Or maybe he's just a changed man. Maybe he's shed this weight. He's got a new outlook on life. I think we said it before. Glad he's looking fit, healthy, and in a good place. But, you know, this Sefer Safari, Safiri, whatever, saw clips of him on the pads and stuff. I'm not holding out too much hope of any, you know, decent sort of, you know, level of opponent for Fury on this one. But, you know, he's been out 2.5 years or whatever it is now. He's got to get in there with someone, right? And it's not going to be, despite wanting AJ on his comeback, the first fight back, and he'd do it with one hand behind tied behind his back and wild as a bum and this, that, and the other. It was never going to be anyone of any. And if it has to be Albania's number two cruiserweight, then so be it. But having seen him on the pads, I might be changing citizenship and looking to clean up the domestic division in Albania.
Yo, it's so funny because I forget what clip it was where it was like Tyson Fury like hugged his opponent, like one of those like Instagram clips, right? And I saw Zafari or whatever come in the ring. I didn't realize that's who it was at first because he was so small. Yeah. I thought he was like his agent or something, you know, just some guy that worked for like Sky Sports or something. Not Sky Sports, but was it BT Sports? I thought it was some guy. And I'm like, oh shit, no, that's his opponent. Oh my God, he is tiny. Oh, Tyson Fury might knock this motherfucker out. And that's bad. That's bad. But, you know, salute to Tyson. He's back this weekend on BT Sports. I know you don't have BT, Rob, but don't worry. We're going to find you a link. Don't worry. Wink, wink.
Yeah, we'll be good. We'll be good. Because any of you, any Americans that are tuning into this UK hour, you're able to watch Tyson Fury on Showtime, YouTube, and Facebook, apparently. So,
That's been happening a lot lately, and I like that.
Yeah. Didn't you get Warrington?
We had Warrington.
I'll be Warrington on there. That's it's nice, different people picking up the fights like that. So I think that's what we all want, to be able to speaking on behalf of some Americans that really want some UK boxing. but it's good. We all get to see it. So it is what it is. Frank Warren apparently said this isn't Tyson Fury isn't the main event,
but they got
Flanagan Hooker,
but they keep selling
every promo is just he's back.
Every poster I see, it's only him. He's the only person on the poster. No one else is.
Or the TV adverts, even on my kid's Amazon tablet, it came up, he's back.
Yo,
I was like, hang on, he's not the main event. Okay,
sure, Frank. Okay,
all those people turned up at the media workout for Terry Flanagan.
And, we don't believe you. You need more people.
We don't believe you, Frank. Come on, man. Come on. Yeah. But
we'll see the running order on the bout sheet tomorrow.
But you know, with it being on, you know, YouTube for the Showtime, I wonder what the viewership is going to be on that stream compared to like the Warrington fight, which did very low, because we did a live fight chat for that fight. Mm-hmm. That did half the numbers that Showtime did. You know, us, our little channel did half the numbers that Showtime did for a Selby Warrington fight. And of course, that is Selby Warrington, a fight that in the U.S. means little to nothing. Tyson Fury, even though he's in a fight that means absolutely nothing, it is Tyson Fury still. I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a fan base. And it's like when we were talking about building a star, he's one of them. People either want to see him lose or they want to see him win or they just want to watch him. So, and shout out, he does things that other heavyweights don't do. You see him, you know, on the back foot, shoulder rolls, and he's got some swag in there. You know, if he carried some serious pop as well, he really would be the super mega danger in the division. You just question maybe his knockout power against some of these bigger guys. But I know he did it against Klitschko, but I think half the battle was won with Klitschko before they even got in the ring.
True.
Whenever
we do get AJ versus Tyson Fury in the UK, the build up for that would be fantastic because Tyson Fury will try to demoralize Anthony and Joshua every second he can get. And you get like the almost like the devil incarnate with Tyson Fury and the golden child and Anthony Joshua in that matchup. I love it. Even though I think like a Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury build up is a little more animosity. Like there's probably a press conference brawl between those two. AJ and Fury is like that tension, that storyline. But digressing to my favorite section of Standing Eight Count on Fridays, Patreon questions. And again, patreon.com/theboxingvoice. If you want to get your question or topic guaranteed to be answered on the show. And again, only UK questions and topics. Real Niger Chick, a.k.a. Mitty's best friend. I like how I always intro her as that. She said, thoughts on UK female prospects. Katie Taylor, Hannah Rankin, Chantel Cameron, Natasha Jones, especially the ex-team GB Olympians now turned pro. Now, Rob, I'm definitely going to turn this one over to you because other than Katie Taylor and Natasha Jones, I do not know any of the girls that she mentioned.
Jonas.
Yes. Oh, Jonas? Yeah. Oh, I'm dyslexic. I'm sorry.
It's all good. It's all good. No, I think British boxing overall is booming, and that's reflecting on the women's boxing as well. And it's just, an exciting time. Obviously, Katie Taylor's doing her thing. And just a quick one. Hope her father's doing well. There was an incident at her father's gym. Someone was actually shot dead there, and there's been her father was injured in the shooting. So hopefully everything's all fine. But yeah, obviously, look, back on the subject, Katie Taylor's gone out there, unified a division and doing her thing. And that, you know, is there'd be plenty of women in gyms looking for, you know, their sporting hero or someone to look up to and aspire to be. And that if you've got a champion in your country or, you know, in representing a flag or whatever, or and okay, Katie Taylor's like Ireland and stuff, but we've seen her in the Olympics and winning medals and stuff, and now seeing her winning actual professional titles, it's all good to, inspire a generation of women that are coming through. And it seems with Cecilia
Brakus.
Yeah, Brakus getting HBO TV time and things like that. And Katie Taylor was just over there on a HBO card. It wasn't obviously televised, but she was over there on the Daniel Jacobs card. It's great. And just like I say, it's inspiring. And obviously certain promoters, it looks like there's the money's picking up for these female fighters. So it's not taking up a sport where you're getting punched in the face for little to no money. And I think you addressed it, Matt, that UFC has kind of helped raise women in combat sport. Now that boxing is maybe trying to catch up to that. And
I talked about the greatest female boxer of all time. I had that discussion and whether there is one, to be honest, on my Standing Eight Count because of, Nia, she asked that question on Standing Eight Count last week. But you have the Ronda Rousey effect. And you had this glass ceiling that was broken. I know people hate on Ronda Rousey, and this isn't an MMA show, but there is a connection. Just like there's always a connection between pro wrestling and boxing. Combat sports is just deeply connected, intertwined with each other in the ways the business is run, the way storylines are sold. They're just naturally intertwined with each other. And because we had a female fighter, somebody that got punched in the face for a living that's a woman, sell a million pay-per-view buys as a headliner in the U.S. When that happened, that broke the glass ceiling for everything we're talking about. a direct result of that is people like Clarissa Shields getting Showtime headliners all the time now. Cilia Bracus breaking the glass ceiling in HBO, direct result of Ronda Rousey. You know, rising tide raises all ships. You know, that's what we have here. That we have this MMA effect where women's MMA is being put up there alongside the men at a high level and getting paid well. And boxing is now having that happen. So I don't know the ins and outs of like a Hannah Ratkin or Chantel Cameron, Nyjah, but Katie Taylor is a unified champion. She's becoming someone to pay attention to for sure, even here in the U.S. She's gotten Showtime telecast, Showtime viewership. She's been on Showtime co-main events with AJ fights before. We're seeing a start of something. I don't know what it's going to be, but it is something. And, like you said, UK boxing is booming right now. And if boxing is booming, if women's sports are booming, if women's boxing is booming, then, of course, UK women's boxing is going to boom as well. And all the names you mentioned are a direct result. And again, like Nicola Adams as well. I think she's relocated out here to the West Coast from the UK. But she's another name that, you know, is starting to pick up noise. I definitely all of them are going to be people to pay attention to going forward for sure. And the more archaic fans of the sport that might be in our live chat hating this topic, get over it. It's 2018. You know, wake up. It's the modern era. Shout out to all the women making waves in the sport right now. You know, salute. Insightful Ryan. Do you want to say anything before we move on?
I just agreed. You know, these women are getting punched in the face probably harder than some people in the chat are getting punched in the face. So fancy your chances. Get down to gym.
Yeah, I'm
sure some women in there could school you. But I think there needs to be a shift because there is a stigma around women's boxing. But I think that's slowly getting broken down.
Definitely.
Especially the high-end women boxers. They show skills just like the guys are showing skills. You know, crazy hands, Katie Taylor, very busy boxer, things like that. You know, Clarissa Shields, obviously not from the UK, but, you know, exciting fighters to watch. I understand the early days of women's boxing, maybe it wasn't quite like, you know, mind-blowing or exciting, but I think that's changed big time.
Or I would even argue that, like, right now we're still in a pioneer stage of the sport. Like, women's boxing is theoretically only, like, 20, 30 years old in terms of being in a marquee position. And even then, the mid-2000s saw really nothing for women's boxing. So, I mean, it's 20, 30 years of experience, while men's boxing has 140-plus years of experience and being in mainstream pop culture, minds. So I think it's just it's a matter of time. It is a matter of time. And they're going to get their just due. And I know like women like Heather Hardy have said even recently that, you know, places like Bellator and MMA are still paying her better than in boxing. But that is changing. And I think it's women like today, the Clarissa Shields, the Katie Taylors, they are the true pioneers in the sense. Like we have like the archetypes of the Layla Alis and the Chrissy Martins in that era. But this era is the true pioneer era. Rob saying Billy Joe Saunders to talk about in our little private chat. What are you saying, Rob? Billy Joe Saunders?
No, it's just obviously we can when we do move on.
I thought there was like breaking news, like Joe versus Triple G. Like, oh my god, like it's UK hour, but digressing.
This is the thing.
Shout out to Patreon questions. Can we go back to those? Insightful Ryan saying, who do the panel think are the best British prospects right now? Kids like Josh Kelly, Ritson, Daniel Dubois, Ted Cheeseman, Real Nyjah actually commented on that one, saying Boatsy as well. Who do you think is up there in terms of best UK prospects right now?
I think everyone that you listed there. You know, obviously we know Josh Kelly, very exciting to watch. I think he's possibly got quite a high ceiling in the game. He's just, I think. As the standard improves, we'll see the better of a lot of these early in their career fighters because quite often they meet guys that are more trying to get away or avoid rather than stand and fight. So hopefully we'll get to see the better of these. Lewis Ritson, for me, is a standout as well. He's very exciting. He's kind of, I don't know, almost come on the scene out of nowhere, or very quietly. And then all of a sudden there's this quite, you know, we've seen him on Sky a few times and he's real exciting to watch. He's going to be on the same card as him and Josh Kelly are headlining and together a card. I think is it the 16th? Is it next week maybe? I'm not sure.
I don't know. Another name that's not mentioned, Joe Cordina. I'm a huge fan of.
Yep.
I think Josh Taylor still, you know, kind of constitutes as a prospect at this point. Now, when he beats Postal, I think in what, 2 weeks from now, that might drastically change. But I think Josh Taylor still equals a prospect right now. Definitely someone to watch. Obviously, fighting Victor Postal coming up. Joe Joyce, another guy that we definitely need to pay attention to in the UK, especially since he's had, you know, Richard Schaefer backing and David Hay backing now. Joe Joyce has a machine behind him in a way. Definitely someone to pay attention to. Your boy Anthony Fowler, someone to pay attention to as well. Maybe not, doesn't have the ceiling that some of these guys have, like a Josh Kelly, etc. But I think Anthony Fowler is going to be a perennial top 15 guy in his division moving forward. So yeah, I think there's a ton of names out there that the UK can throw out in the next 5 to 10 years to be at the top, to take the mantle from the Kell Brooks of the world and the AJs of the world when they start to slip, so to speak. There's going to be plenty of guys to take that mantle.
I would also throw in Conor Benn, exciting fighter to watch. Again, you know, he not so long back had a bit of a scare, but that can happen. I mean, I guess he was looking to trade with quite a heavy hitter, and that's just it's just the way he's going to fight, I think. I thought at one point, I think the fight before that, he looked quite a little bit more measured and waited till he sort of hurt his guy a little bit instead of, you know, really going for it. And and then he had this crazy, crazy fight with, he was knocked down twice. He knocked the other guy. It was, you know, sixth rounder from Howe. It was crazy. But I would throw him in there as, again, I don't know quite these guys' ceiling, how far they'll go, because, you know, we get quite excited by a lot of our fighters here, but are they all going to go on to world level? You know, we'll have to see. Sure. I'd like to think a good percentage will, but obviously that world level is a tricky stage for no matter where you're from. But
absolutely.
And
another guy we didn't mention, obviously, Lawrence Okoli, who just fought today, and we did the live fight chat. Another prospect who I think in about a year or two you're going to see him fighting, you know, maybe like a Tabidi of the world. Maybe something like that. I could definitely see that in, you know, maybe 2 years from now, 18 months from now. But, I mean, we've said it. Tons of names, tons of people to watch. Heck, we did, I think, I don't know if it's actually available to the public. I think it is. Me and you did a standing eight count a while back. Yeah. And we did, like, the top five UK prospects. Go check that out, either on Patreon or for free. I forget where it is, but check it out on YouTube. We list our top five, for example. Rick saying, even though this weekend is sort of a throwaway fight, so to say, for Tyson Fury, what is the excitement level like seeing he's coming back to boxing in the UK? Really worded. How long do we think it is before he's in a high-level fight? Heavyweight seems to be the most paid attention to division now, and throw another serious player back in the pot only means great things for the sport. Definitely agree on that last part. I think Tyson Fury is going to whoop Zafari's ass this weekend, knock him out within six rounds, and then fight Tony Bellew. And then I don't know what people think about that fight, but I think that's a high-level fight. So I think probably this, maybe December, November, maybe first quarter next year, you're going to see Tyson Fury versus Tony Bellew in the UK, and that's going to be a fantastic fight.
Yeah, I mean, I think sorry, who was the guy that asked this question?
Rick.
Was it Rick? Yes. Rick, yeah. I think he was asking what the hype level is over here regarding his comeback. It's kind of like people know what it is and they've kind of gone like, who the fuck is that guy? You know, like for the for the opponent. But I think you know, Tyson's got a, you know, great following. And I think people are just excited to have him back rather than the actual fight. So, and do I see the Bellew fight? Maybe. I think there might be one in between that. He might get another one in. What are we now? June, maybe August. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think there'll be another kind of soft touch. And then maybe, because I think Frank Warren at the time said, we're not looking for a big name yet. I want to see. Tyson needs rounds under his belt. You know, he's been out for 2.5 years and he was looking at like 4 fights before we really seriously looked to match him up.
I think
that might be quicker. I think it might be quicker than that.
I think Tyson Fury won't allow that. I think the second Tyson Fury steps in there and has a great performance, I think this weekend he's going to have a great performance. He's gonna think he's the best in the world, and he still thinks that. Like, that's the thing. Like, Tyson Fury still thinks he can whoop everyone in the division with one arm. So you're going to tell me that little tiny Frank Warren is going to tell 6'9", big-ass Tyson Fury, nah, slow down there, big fella. We're going to take three more fights, then fight a Tony Bellew? Uh-uh.
I think that'd be a big mistake for Warren anyway.
I do as well. I think
for backlash. There was already a backlash on this because when it first came out, there was rumors this was going to be pay-per-view on BT Sport. And then rumors came out for the opponent, and they're like, get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? It was like, no chance in hell this can't. And then he was like, no, it's not a pay-per-view. I don't know if he maybe planned it, and then just got big reaction online and was like, oh, we can't do this pay-per-view. I don't know. Surely not. I hope to think that Frank Warren didn't think this could be. But if he then puts another soft touch in and then another soft touch in and then another one, I think people are going to really turn against Frank Warren on that. So especially the more and more that Tyson Fury talks crazy game.
And plus, you know, along that line, like, you never know when a guy is going to have another mental breakdown. Like, it, not to be a little bit of a pessimist, but you strike while the iron's hot. Like, he's 100% healthy. He's in shape right now. Get him this little comeback fight, and you throw him back in there at the top. Because you don't know when he's going to snap again. Or hell, in today's age, say something that you cannot take back. You know, like, that is, not to think that way, but it is Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury says some crazy shit. You know, like, he's an explosion waiting to happen. So strike while the iron is hot. Get your money fights in. Tony Bellew is a money fight and a completely winnable fight for Tyson Fury. Take that ASAP. And you know what? I'll allow one more tune-up, and it's only because of the build-up. And I don't know if he is allowed to fight because of suspension, but Shannon Briggs. Like, you throw Shannon Briggs in there, I think a lot of people sort of don't care about that one. You don't get the negativity as much, but you have to strike now. You have to strike now with him. And I think the Shannon Briggs fight only works if he doesn't look great this weekend. If he knocks out Safari, looks phenomenal, looks like Ali in there, I think it's very hard to sell a tune-up going forward.
Yeah, I think they would have one more fight grace from the public. I think they might just get away with one more, and then that would be it. If they look at another one, then no. But I mean, maybe you've seen all the Shannon Briggs and Tyson Fury back and forth. It's been kind of comical, but it's like, is it really going to happen? Because Shannon Briggs has told Frank Warren to put on extra security. He's sort of maintaining that he's going to be turning up on Saturday night.
Yo, no, that's going to happen now. I didn't know that. Yo, it's 100% going to happen. Shannon Briggs is going to step in the ring, guys. And that's going to be Tyson Fury's next fight in like August.
I wonder what his first words will be.
Or September. And then you can get like a first quarter next year Tony Bellew fight. That's going to happen. I'm calling it right now.
My guess, Shannon Briggs might say something along the lines of, I don't know, let's go, champ.
That's a safe bet.
I'm good. So that build up would be funny. I mean, I don't know what people's thoughts of that actual fight are. You know, we know Shannon Briggs is pushing it on in years a bit now, but he talks crazy game just like Tyson. So why not? If they're going to get it in after this Safari fight, and then look look a little bit more serious as far as opposition for Tyson. But on about Saturday night, Billy Joe Saunders, despite pulling out injured.
Last minute news in the outro. What is
not news, but pulled out on Martin Murray for the second time. Murray took to Twitter and Instagram to displeasure for it. And then Billy Joe done a crazy video kind of letting loose on him, saying, "I'm not scared of anyone and you're a bum. You were just a tick over fight for me." And he then called out, if you want to come and say all this to my face, I'll be at the Tyson Fury fight on Saturday and we can see what happens. So someone very quickly on a post that I put out said, "Oh, it's funny that he's offering him a fight earlier than the scheduled fight, which he's pulled out injured for." So yeah, I mean, whether that we'll get Triple G out of this for Saunders now that we've seen Canelo and Jacobs are in talks.
God knows.
I don't know.
Doubtful. It's highly doubtful. If anyone's going to take that Billy Joe Saunders fight, it was a guy without mandatories. Triple G has two mandos. Like, it is just, you know, unlikely. Not saying it's not possible, but it's unlikely.
It was kind of a X-Files kind of soundbite.
I don't have that. I'm sorry. I don't have that.
Oh, you don't have the conspiracy theory one anymore.
That's only on Blog Talk. That's not on Blog Talk. Yeah. Yeah, Blog Talk has like a separate soundboard. With like, that's like the Mario's like coin, X-Files, the Zach Galifianakis laugh, the 3-minute bell, the cut it, all that's on Blog Talk. You know, I only have, you know, so much shit. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But yes, another edition of UK Hour. Hit that like button, hit the subscribe button. Tell a friend, share the show. Patreon.com/TheBoxingVoice. Help support your favorite boxing channel. It's been another edition of Live Fight Chat too. Like, we've got to say that. Like, it is Watkins versus Okoye Live Fight Chat. Tyson Fury comeback this weekend. Dillian Whyte versus God knows who. Could be Luis Ortiz. Could be Joseph Parker. We're gonna find out tomorrow morning at a press conference, allegedly, maybe, rumored to be. But yes, I'm Matt the Hipster Hunter. You can find me at Matt Hunter TBV on all platforms, Mixed Combat Radio on Patreon, SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, etc. Rob.
Yeah, you can follow me Instagram and Twitter at UKRobTBV. Just like Matt said, if you want to post questions or topics on the Patreon page, but if you want to hit me up on social media, that's fine. Anything you want us to talk about or dive into, always helpful to help, you know, voice of the people. You can have your questions answered as and when. So, yeah, thanks for tuning in. Like Matt said, hit the thumbs up. Thanks for all the love we've been getting for the UK Hour. Hopefully we'll have more live fight chats for you. And one day you'll be able to call in and tell us that we're talking absolute bullshit.
Yes. Shout out to No Ness. Hashtag No Ness, right?
Power to the people.
Yeah, no Batman in here. Peace.